This is that time of our meeting between the hour of 8:30 and 9 o'clock where we have our preliminary study meeting where we in fact look at business for the day, whether it be agenda requests, whether it be previous minutes, accounts payable, etc. And it's also that time when we take public comment. And I see that we have Dave Woolery listed as wishing to address the commission. Mr. Woolery, if we could have you come to a microphone. Good morning, sir. And Tammy, excuse me. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm here representing the Taney County 911, the Taney County 911 Board, and the 911 stakeholders this morning. My purpose is to present to you the official 911 stakeholder recommendation for funding centralized dispatch. I think you may have got a copy of that now. So, as you will recall, I was asked to develop plans to solve the problem of 911 declining revenues and increasing expenses. This has been going on for about a year and a half now. Today, it's my pleasure to announce the final piece of the recommendation. Early on, the stakeholders reached a solid consensus to consolidate dispatch from five centers to one. That action has already started, and we have four centers now. All subsequent discussion and plans since then have been based on consolidated dispatch. That's been a fundamental principle that we've worked with. This recommendation is supported by resolutions passed by each board and council of each stakeholder organization who felt it necessary. This unanimous recommendation asks the commission to approve the basic concept of funding Taney County 911 with a 911 sales tax. That's the basic concept that we're working on now. And I think you all have a copy now of the recommendation here. The final reading of the Branson Council is tonight, and that will be available tomorrow. And there's not going to be any problem with that. Branson is in favor of this. As you will note, there's no time frame for your decision and no tax percent for the ballot. This is really not as specific as you might like, and I wish it could have been better, but I think it's appropriate at this time. The 911 board and the 911 stakeholders have devoted a significant amount of time and efforts, explored a number of options, and concluded they need the support of the commissioners for just the concept of sales tax before proceeding. Once that support is given, then they will get busy and develop the details and the data necessary for this recommendation here. Absent of that support, I think centralized dispatch will be difficult both financially and organizationally. Most of you have attended most of the stakeholder meetings and listened to the discussion, so you have a good feel for the challenges of all the options that were developed. As for the date of the vote, no specific date, but a request not to be delayed. We haven't presented a request, but we want to encourage you to not delay your decision on this. The stakeholders concluded that the year 2013 is the target year for a possible ballot. The date is open. I think you understand the significant concern for you and the possible impact on general county revenue. When the 911 revenue fund is deleted, the 911 support will be paid by GCR if we don't change anything. I also appreciate a specific percent would be more comfortable. Right now, we're just asking for approval of the concept. You certainly will be involved in the actual percent on the ballot, as you have heard in the stakeholder meetings that you have, and the discussion that took place there. We think that the percent will be close to 3/16 or 1/4%. But that will certainly be developed after we get the approval of the commission. I would also call your attention in thinking about this situation, call your attention to the experience that we watched in Berry County last year. Was it this year?
It was last year.
They approached this way. They passed a 911 sales tax knowing that it was too low. And they had a difficult time, almost disastrous, to 911 getting it raised. So we don't want to get in that situation when we pick a percent of sales tax. Gentlemen, thank you for your time. I'll be happy to visit at your convenience. And I would suggest in those visits that we also maybe include some expert help from the 911 board and maybe some of the stakeholders, too. Thank you.
Dave, it's our policy, as you know, not to address public comment. And actually, we're not to do so unless we have agendized items. But I wish you would elaborate just for a moment and add to your comments by giving us, for the record, the different political subdivisions that are involved in this recommendation.
There are entities
that are stakeholders.
The ones that chose to go official with this, and there are others who said, hey, we're for it. We don't need to do this. I think there are six, isn't it?
Seven.
And we kind of consider those as the key stakeholders. I think there's a list on your handout there.
At the bottom of the blue letter, City of Hollister, Taney County Sheriff, City of Forsyth, Central Taney County Fire Protection District, Western Taney County Fire Protection District, and Taney County Ambulance and the City of Branson.
We appreciate their efforts at doing that. It's been kind of difficult to coordinate something like that, to get something through seven different boards or councils in time to do this. And it's been kind of a challenge. But we're glad to have it.
Thank you for your comments.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission, Monday, November 26, 2012, to order. I'd like to call upon Commissioner Straffes for an opening prayer.
Everyone stand, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you this day. Father, we are thankful for this last week, Father, that we've paused as a country to be thankful for all the blessings you've given to us individually and as a country. And Father, we just ask you to be with us as we conduct business this week, Father, as a federal government, a state, and a local government, Father. We also ask to be with all the educators and all those who are working, Father, to better our society. And Father, we ask you also to be with the military families who are active duty right now, Father, that you comfort them while they're apart from loved ones. And Father, we just ask you to be to protect those who are serving in harm's way right now to keep our freedoms. And Father, we are thankful, Father, that you are a good God to us and you give us great blessings. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Mr. Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Nikki, I'm going to put you on hold for just a couple of minutes before we move into agenda request review. And I'd like to call upon the Branson School District Superintendent, Dr. Hayter, for an update. You can either...
So just give us 1 second there. Second, you should see it. Ava's been asleep. It's very tired. Too much turkey. Okay. That'll all go away in just a second.
All right. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I have to admit, it was a little tough this morning. My wife and I were talking after a long break, get back in the swing of things. And as I mentioned in an email this morning, hopefully eat right for a few weeks before Christmas gets here. So appreciate the opportunity to be here this morning. We've had a series of meetings going on, community focus groups, and then also had the privilege of speaking to the city of Branson. We're going to speak to Branson Hollister Rotary this week. And, of course, the county being an important part of what we do. Wanted to get by and just share with you for just a few minutes some brief pieces of information about the Branson schools, some of the things that are going on. Certainly as we go through this, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to stop me. And really just here today to keep you informed about what's going on there, answer any questions, and just make sure that we all move together toward the future. So that's my purpose this morning. I'll start with our mission statement, a community committed to learning. We hope certainly that's the case. And our board last year got together and revamped that based on what we're doing as a district. And we think that's a pretty good adjective describing hopefully what we're trying to do each and every day. Hard to keep up sometimes. This is my 10th year with the district, and only one board member that's still currently serving that was there when I came to the district. But let me run through those with you. Dr. Peter Marcellus, who's been on the board those 10 years, our current president. Teresa Givens, Vice President, Roger Fries with Ozark Mountain Bank, Debbie Keller, Craig Westcott with the Tracks Fun Parks, Jeff Smethers, who works for Gary Smalley, and then Dan Boone, who's a local realtor, comprise our seven-member board. This coming April, of course, we'll have an election. I believe Mr. Fries and Mrs. Keller will be up for re-election. Both of those have indicated they are going to run again. Been very fortunate in my 10 years there to really have a good group of people to work with. So we appreciate our current board. Well, the first thing we always like to mention, because this is the focus, hopefully, of what we do, is strong instructional performance. We're very proud for the eighth consecutive year to receive the Missouri School Improvement Program Distinction and Performance Award. And that's based on a variety of factors, such as attendance, college preparatory work, our Missouri Assessment Program, testing program, ACT, attendance, a number of items. And for eight consecutive years, we've been able to achieve that. And I'll also plug, as you're aware, many of the other districts in Taney County also doing a very good job in meeting that same performance standard. So I think you can be proud of the districts in Taney County and what they're doing for kids. For 10 years, I've had to talk about enrollment, and that really hasn't changed. That's been one of the most interesting factors that I've experienced. You can see some data here back all the way to 1980. I came to the district in July of 2003. We were about 3,200 students approximately. And this year, you can see we're 4,654 at our September count. That's about a 40% increase in that 10-year period. I will tell you also, the last couple of years, last year we were up about 1%, which was a little bit of a decrease from what we've seen. And this year we were up about 20 students, so basically relatively flat, which is not a huge surprise to me, really. And I think our board, based on kind of the 2008 economic downturn, and then, you know, it does take a little bit of lag time. It seems like in our part of the world, we don't see the highs, but we don't see the lows, and it tends to lag a little bit. The other thing I might point out, as you would imagine, still heavily Caucasian, about 85%. The next biggest group is Hispanic. And we're pushing 9%, close to 10, and that's risen a little bit each year. And then, of course, our other smaller groups. The one other misnomer, I think, that's out there a lot of times, we have a fairly high free and reduced lunch count. This year we're about 58%. And we've seen that rise. And, again, I don't think that's any major surprise. But, again, growth over the 30-year period and also the last 10 years, you can see, continues to go up. Because of the growth, we've continued to build. We had a bond issue in 2005, this one in 2011. I'll go over these projects quickly. The first is Buchanan Elementary. It's going to be a K-3 building there on Buchanan across from the high school, and it's going to house grades K through 3, and I'll tell you more about that in just a minute, about 105,000 square feet. Currently under construction, completion date somewhere in June. Dr. Don Forrest handles our construction. He's hoping it's sooner in June rather than later, but we'll see how that timeline goes. We're planning on being in that building next year. If you'll hit one more for me, please. This is the ninth grade center. This is the southeast corner of the high school. We built the southwest corner back in 05, and this will take the capacity of that building to about 2,000. We currently have a little over 1,400 in high school, really large freshman group. As a matter of fact, they were over 400 when the year started, and I think they're in the 390s now. So that's the largest single class that we have at Branson. And just to give you some perspective, our kindergarten group was 370. So we saw another spike there, but total enrollment remaining about the same. Then the last one is the high school activity center. That's down on the north end of the high school stadium. That's going to house some locker room space, multi-purpose space for PE, some coaching offices and those kinds of things. These two projects we think will be finished somewhere early spring, February, March. We'll probably move into the activity center, not into the freshman center until next year, and we'll make a full transition when that takes place at the start of 13-14. Now, with all of that, we're going to transition our elementary schools. And let me go over those two items. You'll put the next one up there, too, for me, please. Currently, as you know, we have just a K-12 system, and we have separate buildings. The only exception to that is on Cedar Ridge. We have two second through fourth grade buildings. Well, starting next year, we're going to have two campuses, one on the north, which we're going to call Buchanan, and one on the south, which we're going to call Cedar Ridge. So at the Cedar Ridge campus, at the current primary school, which currently is pre-K through 1, it's going to be a pre-K kindergarten building. We're also going to start some additional pre-kindergarten classes. There's going to be an informational meeting this Thursday night. It's going to be a pay-for program. We don't get any money for those kids to fund that program, but we're going to try to get more of our preschool kids, four-year-olds, into school because the data is very clear that if we can get them earlier, we can help them more. That's also one of the major goals of the state. They have an initiative called the Top 10 by 20, meaning that we'll be in the top 10 states in performance, and one of their four major goals is to increase early childhood learning. So we're going to try to ramp that up over the next few years. Currently, the Elementary West building, which is a 2-4, is going to become Cedar Ridge Elementary, and it'll be grades 1 through 3, half of them in the district. And then the current Elementary East will be Cedar Ridge Intermediate, grades 4 through 6. So you'll have pre-KK, 1 through 3, and 4-6 all at Cedar Ridge. And I'll show you that dividing line here in just a second. And then at Buchanan, the new building will be a K-3, and then the current intermediate, which is now a 5-6, will become a 4-5-6. Now, the other thing that we could not do right now, which is in the next phase of our building plan, we want to build a pre-KK center at Buchanan. And then I think it's obvious what will happen then. You'll have two mirroring campuses with three identical buildings. But because of bonding capacity and growth and that kind of thing, that was not something we took a step toward at this point. But that'll be one of our future plans to do that. The other thing down the road that if we need it, if growth continues, is we could build a second junior high on the Buchanan campus. So then you can kind of see what would take place is you would have a north campus pre-K through 8th grade with the current junior high. And if you built a junior high at Buchanan and built the separate building, you'd have a pre-K through 8th grade campus there feeding into one high school. Now that's down the road. And then the other big picture that I'm sure that you'll hear about when we get to that point, what about a second high school? Now, with a capacity of 2,000 and a current enrollment of 1,400, I think that's a few years down the road. And if I count my birthdays right, probably something I'm not going to have to worry about, but somebody's going to have to worry about. And I know that's a big cultural thing. So I know the county, the city, and the whole community will want to be talking about that, about what we're going to do. But I think, again, that's a ways down the road. Here's the dividing line, and just to make it as easy for our two elementary campuses, everything in the yellow up to the north, that would be the Buchanan campus, and then everything below the line in the green, Branson proper basically, would be the Cedar Ridge campus. And it's fairly evenly divided. The only population that's a little bit stronger on the south campus is our Hispanic population. And that's primarily due to where most of our Hispanic families live, in a little bit more of concentrated areas, which is not all bad, because then we can concentrate efforts there in our ELL program, our early language learning program at that campus. But other than that, it works out pretty well. It runs along Berg Road, there by Walmart, down by the junior high, and then follows the lake. So everything north and everything south. And that's how it'll work. The next slide, we won't do this, but you can go to our website and you can click on this and it'll tell you which campus your child will attend. It's pretty neat. And it could also be used for someone who moved into the district who wanted to see where their children might attend or make sure they're in the district, which is a question we get a lot. But you click on that and it goes to a website and then you just put your information in and it'll ask you to verify and they'll say your child will be on this campus. So if you get a chance, go to our website and take a look at that. Then the last piece of our transition, we have moved our district offices. And we are currently over at the former Corporate Woods office building. It's Branson Public Schools District offices. We moved in late July, early August. Great facility, about 20,000 square feet. We've moved a lot of our administrative staff over there, upstairs and downstairs. It's great. I love the space. I kind of miss being over there with the kids. But it just makes you get out a little more. But it's going to really serve the district well for a long time. So if you come over to visit us or see us at Central Office, we're now over on Bee Creek. It would be just north of the Boys and Girls Club there across from Corporate Place where Silver Dollar City is located. Then the last thing I'll share with you, just two or three things here. Number one, give me one more there, where are we headed? And just some key things that we're thinking about as a school district. Early childhood education, I talked about that a little bit earlier. We don't think there's any question that's a big thing. We currently have what's called a Title I preschool, which you have to qualify for that. That's a federal program, and there have to be certain factors. Socioeconomic is one, at risk if you're in a single-parent family. So there are qualifications. We also have an early childhood special education program, which, again, you have to qualify for. We're looking more toward the children that would not qualify for those programs that we can get to school. And so we think that's a real key, and you're going to continue to see us build on that foundation the next several years. The next one, again, no surprise, technology. And here's the fundamental question we've been trying to work with. How do we continue to instruct kids, get them ready for the world they need to be in, and not just hand them a toy? Because we could go over there and hand everyone a computer, teachers and students alike. And we have a lot of technology in our district. But how do we bridge that gap? Because it's still good instruction. It's still a good interaction with students and teachers. And it's still something, I read a thing the other day about what employers want. They still want good character traits. They still want people that can work with others, that can think, that'll come to work. So we've got to incorporate all that. And I don't want us ever as a society, and even Branson Schools, to get so far along on the technology side. It's an important tool, and we need to know how to use them. We don't forget those fundamentals, because I don't think those are ever going to change. The next one, we hear a lot about this. Again, a state goal is being college and career ready. That if a student chooses not to go to college, can they go to a vocational technical school? Are they ready for the workplace? And kind of ramping up the rigor of what we're doing at the high school level. And then the last one, again, training educators, technology, rigor, early childhood, and just making sure that we're moving kids toward the future in a right way. So those are some of the key goals that we're looking at as a school district. Two final items we're pretty proud of, not only educating kids, but how can we help? How can we help others in our school and outside? The Branson Education Foundation's in its second year, and they held their fundraiser in early September, raised a little over $30,000, and they're providing grants back to the school district, scholarships for kids. Great group of people that's been working with that, so we're proud of that. We think that's going to have a great long-term impact on our district. And then the second thing, I'm really proud of our faculty and staff. We just finished the week before Thanksgiving, our second United Way week, and we do a variety of activities. We have a chili cook-off. We had a dessert wars day, a breakfast day. We had a race on Saturday. It's amazing what people will pay when you tell them you can leave an hour early on Friday, and we bribe them in any way we can. But we think we're counting the money. We think we're going to be about $7,500. And last year we raised $7,700, so we're going to be really close. And we led Taney County with the organization, so I'm really proud of our staff. You know, we've talked about it. You know, it's important. We've been blessed. We need to help others. And I think that's important for kids to see, too, so we're really proud of that. With that, I'm going to conclude, and thank you for your time. Be glad, certainly, to answer any questions. Again, my purpose today, just kind of keep you up to date about what we're thinking and what we're doing and where we're heading, because we're all in this together, and it takes all of us working together to make our county and our school district work. So I'll stop and entertain any questions that you might have.
I've already seen this once. I drilled in last meeting. This one, I told him I'm going to be easy on this one.
First, we very much appreciate the update, what you provided. It's important, certainly, to the families that are within Taney County and those that fall within the Branson Public School District. I'm curious, in looking at the map that we had an earlier slide of that showed the Branson School District in the northwest portion did not conform to the county line, so I'm assuming it's those districts that are outside of Taney County that come into our county?
That's correct. Which is interesting. You know, I was at Galena the other day visiting a former student of mine, a superintendent there. And they have, I was looking at his map, and they have just a little square of Taney County. So it's amazing how school districts do that, but that's one example. Galena has just a little, which, to put it in perspective, the issue with the revenue situation was when Galena was involved in that. Remember when the districts were moved? Because they have a portion of Taney County. Mm-hmm. Is where all that came from. So you're right. It doesn't follow.
Has there been any discussion at all of and I assume it would have to be an agreement that is both upon Galena and I think Spokane, both school districts that fall within the county there in the northwest portion, that those would become part of Branson, or no discussion at all?
There really hasn't been any discussion. You're right, though. It does take a vote by both entities, and there was something that happened about less than a year ago between Spokane and Galena. One of the residents had petitioned, and it was on the ballot, and it passed one but not the other. And typically, as you can imagine, what happens is many times the receiving district, it'll pass, and then the district that's losing, it doesn't, because they don't want to lose. But there is a statutory provision to do that, but really been no discussion about that per se.
I was just curious.
Yeah, it's very interesting the way school district boundary lines run sometimes.
Again, thank you very much.
I was going to ask you my question about we had discussion last year when you came forward about a cooperative effort between Branson Schools and the county on the road system there. Mm-hmm. As all this stuff, the buildings and the campuses and all this come together, the transportation system is going to become rather complicated. It is now during some of your big ball games and things like that with the number of people that are even parked out on the county road just trying to get into the facilities and everything. So I think it would be a good effort to have you meet with the county commission, your board and everything, and have some discussion on what we might do in a cooperative effort on those issues to try to take care of that problem, because I can see it becoming a real problem when you get all of your campuses completed.
Yeah, we agree. We met with the city recently, too, on a few issues and came up with them because, correct me, but I think anything along Buchanan is probably going to involve all three of us, correct, if I understand that correctly. Is that a correct assumption? Or
It's possible. I don't remember where – I know the road itself is maintained by us. I know Branson touches some if we need easements. I'm not sure who owns some of the property along the road. So
their territorial agreement does overshade it. Yeah. So,
but you're right.
They would be involved also. I think it would be good for all three to come together and try to work that out, because we're talking about a large area.
Yeah, and we agree. We'd like to do that. So if that dialogue is open, that'd be great. Continue to talk about that.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Beth, if you could come join us.
Ron, do you want to go to the east real fast? You're on the way.
Let's take her, and then we'll do all of
our
business. She doesn't have a microphone.
But you can just grab the mic. Just grab the mic and sit down. That'd be fine.
It's movable.
Our next agendized item is the Missouri Department of Transportation monthly update. Beth Shallon.
We don't have a lot of new things going on, but Nikki did send me a note that you all were interested in discussing the county road sign, possibly some might be interested in some veterans.
Yes.
Veteran signing, possibly. That was the note that was sent by our traffic specialist for this area a few months ago. And I wasn't sure just exactly what direction the gentleman wanted to head with that. So I thought I'd bring that with me just to kind of refresh everybody's memory on what had originally been sent. As far as the rest of MoDOT, I really don't have much going on right now. I had informed you guys last month that we had taken bids on some of the roads in the county, and those were done back in September. So we're done with our bidding for pretty well for next year, and that work will probably start in March or April. So
okay. And right now you're preparing for snow season.
Yeah, we're preparing for snow season. We've done our statewide snow drill. We did that at the end of October.
Okay.
I think everything went well there. That was meant to kind of give us an idea of how long the snow routes were going to be, if there were any gaps, because, as you're aware, we went from 10 districts down to 7,
right.
And we consolidated a lot of our maintenance facilities, so it was kind of a statewide concern that we'd be able to cover all the roadways. So.
Right.
Our director, Kevin Keith, has informed us both directly and through various channels of our management that snow removal is our number one priority for the winter. And he keeps emphasizing that. He said, we will not fail at snow removal.
Right.
Hopefully that will give everybody.
And just for those who are listening, we met about our snow routes and all that. We got all that worked out, and we have an understanding of how we're going to cover the roads, and we have a cooperative agreement about salt and fuel for the winter season. So I know some people caught the last time, but they didn't catch one of the meetings between. So, but I think we've all worked through all those situations. So,
And like I said, we've had it reiterated from upper management down that in the past, in the last few years, salt's been extremely expensive, and they were looking for ways to kind of conserve salt usage. And we still are looking for ways to conserve, but they basically came out and said, snow removal is something we will not fail at.
Right.
So, you know, don't worry about the salt so much as worrying about the safety of the roads. So we've been trying a few things, and some of them have worked and some of them haven't worked as well. So.
Okay.
Now, I wasn't sure what you had about the Nikki sent me the note about the signs, but I wasn't sure exactly what you were wanting, so.
No, okay, well, I think I initiated that.
Okay.
Okay, the thing that we were looking for is because, and it comes at a pretty convenient time, is the fact that this has been Veterans Recognition Week in the Branson area, and we would like to propose a billboard type sign situation somewhere on 65 on the north and on the south, welcoming and showing our appreciation to the vets to enter our county. As we all know it, they're a big economic boost also to the area through this month and last month, and throughout the year, but mainly through those recognition times. And I was looking for a cooperative effort in the fact that we would have a billboard that wouldn't cost the county or the state for the location-wise, but then the maintenance of the billboard could be handled. I see that MoDOT writes on here that you guys could handle some of the maintenance on it, but I...
Yeah, we have some standard contracts. We get requests from cities, and mainly cities, but some counties too, for similar things to this quite a bit, and so we've got some standard contracts that we have set up for that type of thing.
Right, we would like something pretty large and impressive so that they know when they come into our county that we're welcoming. The welcome is with open arms, and that we appreciate their effort to be here and what they have done in the past. And we're talking about all forms of armed services. And there was a gentleman here last week, a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. that spoke to us and. With a Veterans Task Force, and he even mentioned that the other possibilities of having firefighters and ambulance people on the particular billboard there that shows service to the citizens. And so I'm anxious to get this underway and get it started. I would like to whatever needs to be done by Taney County to proceed in that direction. If you could kind of guide us and help us along that way.
So the price, these four images you gave us, you also gave us pricing on the other side, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Right?
But I'm not looking at something like that.
That's what I'm afraid of, is I don't think that our roadway system approved signs are going to meet your requirements.
So it sounds like MoDOT's not going to be the solution for us.
Sounds to me like you're more interested in a billboard
or something,
if you're really wanting to get that much information.
Signs.
Right. There's not a possibility of an agreement, though, for location-wise on state property versus us having to buy property
or get an easement.
Or get an easement or purchase.
The one thing that I do know we have done in the past, and I think you'll see it, I can't remember if Branson has one, but I know the city of Ozark has what we call city monumentation. And that's actually maintained by them on our right-of-way. And it's dependent on whether there's a safe place to put the monumentation.
Right.
But it's like a welcome to sign that's a little bit more substantial.
Is that on the new construction side of the lake? I know where that, it's on the new bypass road. I've seen it. It's relatively new.
Okay. I can't remember exactly where it is. I know that it's, as you're going southbound, I'm pretty sure there's a welcome to Ozark sign that's
mm-hmm.
up
on the hill somewhere.
Maybe close to, there's a boat place or something. I can't remember exactly where it's at, but it's one of those things I see every time I go through, but now I can't remember where it's at. But that would be maybe a possibility. Normally those are for cities. I've never had a county approach us about that type of thing, but that would be...
I guess what we'd have to do is look at some easement, some placements on the road first, Danny, and
right.
see who owns the easement, and maybe come back and get a, would you say a monument?
It's called monumentation as opposed to just signage, because usually there's some landscaping around it and it's a little bit more substantial.
I hate to say this, I don't mean for this to sound this way, but this is overlooked for what I want.
You want something more substantial.
I want something that actually shows the service Man, I've seen that in
more, that allows more detail. And
right,
more,
right, oh, and yeah. and more of a warm welcome to mm-hmm. them instead of a sign, just a sign that says "Welcome to Taney County." I'm looking for something with a with the photographs of each of them,
right.
the service members and things like that. I seen one the other day. I didn't know they had one that close in Missouri. I think it's up in towards Rolla or Laclede.
Okay.
County or somewhere up in that area, but it's now it's sitting in the edge of 44 on the left, and it's just got like three service people that's on that on that particular sign. But now whenever I go south, whenever I went to Louisiana, Mississippi, and in there, they have rather large billboards for service people. That,
well, maybe what we can do is get with Nick. Let's set up a 10-minute conversation about placement on 65, what we're talking about. At least we can start narrowing down what we're talking about, Danny.
Okay.
So maybe, Nikki, would you put it on your agenda request, just a 10-minute discussion on, and we'll look at this Highway 65 and just talk about areas of the 65 we want to put it on. And let's just start narrowing down locations, and then we can see who owns the property and then go from there.
And you said you thought you had seen a billboard type of structure on, in Laclede County?
I believe, I can't remember exactly which county north on 44 as I was going. And we had some discussion about this, and I actually seen a sign up there at that and I'd have to look and see. I could actually call one, some of the commissioners, I guess, probably, and find out the exact.
Well, I was just wondering about the location, because, you know, if it's something that would have involved an easement for us or whatever, then my headquarters person I would probably know up in Jeff City, because
right,
I would have had
right.
to come through them.
Right. That's what I'm looking for, is something that we can just go a little step further in showing our appreciation to the vets who contribute so that financially, even I mean, it's to our area, and a warm welcome sign other than just having a green state sign.
Yeah, it sounded like something that probably would not be on us, but because we're just not set up for that extensive of advertising, we've got some pretty strict guidelines and restrictions on what we do and don't allow.
Sure.
But there might be, you know, a possibility that we have some excess right away somewhere, or, you know, we've had different things with different cities where we've been able to work something out if the location happens to be ideal. So
I appreciate it. We'll see. I'll try to contact a few of those commissioners that way. They'll have some idea maybe too. So thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions regarding?
Yeah, but from Randy, anybody?
Maintenance.
From Woodbridge, questions or interactions with MoDOT?
I don't have any right now.
Okay.
So far, we're doing all right.
I don't have any either. I mean, we're just waiting for the snow.
Okay. I'm glad you are.
I like the white.
If it could all just, you know, fall at night and be gone.
It could fall off the roadways and be best. So.
There you go, yeah. We could figure out a way to do that.
Thank you, Beth.
Thank you
very much.
In. I appreciate that.
We could step back to agenda request review, Nikki.
Number 4 on the front page is due to be approved today.
Yeah, we have it here.
Yes.
Are we not going to do anything on number 1? Should we just move forward? We're 90 days past.
He has sent me an email on Friday of last week and asked for him to present something to me. I don't know if it's to me or to us. So I was hoping today I would spend a little time with him and see what he's... plans are. And then while we're up at Lake of the Ozarks, I did talk to, was it Tim Natch? He's our account manager, and mm-hmm. he had some conversations with Mark, and also he gave me some insight too. So I think there's been some dialogue going on, but I think the next step is to hear what Mark's thinking.
Aren't we paying a higher percentage because we don't have this in effect, or they've limited?
This is just what we haven't signed is the connection between here and the mountain complex for internet. It's really our internet access.
So have we signed four and there's five agreements? Or
we've signed three.
We've signed three of the six.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the other ones are just broadband access to the internet from being here in the mountain and the mountain to the airport, I think.
And the only...
But it's not phone systems or 911 at all. It's affecting
the urgency of not having to pay a extra on the fee, Jim, is what my concern is. And so,
from my understanding now, that we're not paying anything extra.
Well, let me ask this question, because it was my understanding that there was a discount if we had bundled services. Was that not?
I don't know.
There was an agreement that if we signed it, we would receive a lower rate. We didn't sign it, so I don't believe we are receiving the lower rate, if that's what you're talking
about.
That's
what I'm talking about, Ron. I thought there was a percentage of rate that we received if it was not one particular contract, but a grouping of contracts that were signed.
What's our Thursday look like today, this week?
We have time on Thursday.
Can you
talk
with Mark Riss and see if he can do maybe a 30-minute with us?
Let me back up. Do we not have budget scheduled for Thursday? We're going to talk about that today in agenda, whether or not we're going to do... Okay. Whether or not we're going to schedule budget for the rest of the week.
Thursday,
that is one of your
or just 30 minutes with Mark to talk about and I would put an executive for contracts possibly with him. But let's get an update from him on what his thoughts are. Is that all right with you guys?
As soon as we make a decision as to whether or not we're going to schedule a budget.
If we could, Ron, on that during, as we start today at 1 o'clock or so, I think on budget discussions, isn't it?
After you're done with all of your morning meetings.
Morning meetings. but like I said, that includes the afternoon. But what I'm saying is as we progress here, we can wait and schedule those budget hearings for Thursday or Friday as we progress, because at that point we may need to...
Same time that we schedule the week of the 10th every day?
Go down the line with an hour each or whatever we decide to do. So... And the bigger ones will take longer time, and the smaller budgets take.
Can you help me with what have we scheduled for budget, to build a budget? The other day when we had a budget hearing, did we not select some dates?
In the open meeting, you selected the 26th, which is today,
yes.
All day.
Yes.
You did not make mention of the rest of this week.
Okay.
You went on to next week.
Okay, what do we do next week?
Third and fourth. Because you were going to be out of town for the 6th and 7th.
Correct.
And then I believe the following week, the 10th, you asked for a budget to be placed on.
I have waited half a day for commission the 10th, and then the rest of the week was budget. Is that what you have?
I don't have that either.
No. If you would like me to do that, I can do that.
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
If we're going to build a budget, we're going to have to meet, so.
Right.
Well, we didn't vote on that. We didn't agree to it. Okay.
Oh, you mean those particular dates?
Yes.
They're fine. I mean that. What my thought was is we'll see how we progress in the next couple of days to schedule, because some of these are long schedules.
Well, and I think that part of our budget discussions when we get into it. Let's
work on what is our plan, and then let's block the appropriate days with it. I agree with, we've got to have to spend some time to build a budget. So I agree with what Ron's saying, but I'm also saying what you're saying, Danny, is let's see what how we're going to attack this.
What would you like me to do?
Wait till our, I would say wait till we get to our start of 10:30, and then we can...
Schedule it.
We'll schedule it right then.
Well, the appropriate thing is to discuss it during the agenda request review, I guess, whether or not we're going to agendize budgetary hearings, or while we're actually building the budget, and that's what you all are suggesting, is to talk about future dates.
That's okay.
Sure. So when we go into budget discussions today, we will formalize, hopefully, some future meeting dates so that we can build a budget. Okay.
Number eight, I think we can delete that unless you guys have a need to meet with that person.
They contacted the office.
They met with me at MAC at the vendor show. Mm-hmm. And this person, I guess, came from, who is the architect we used, Danny, for the new judicial building? Who is that architect?
HMN.
This lady left HMN, is with this company. That's why she wanted to come introduce herself. But that's really what that is. It's not a...
Okay. Do you want to have her touch base with Ron Erickson?
We'll just mail some stuff in to Ron Erickson. Unless next year or years these commissioners are planning to build something, I don't see a need in an architect, but I just don't... See a need for a meeting.
Was it, I know it was recommended, was it agreed a minute ago that we're going to move number one to Thursday morning and we're going to have County Commission
at
Thursday
some point
morning?
At some point on Thursday, both attorneys
that again. Are we going to have County Commission this Thursday?
What do we have scheduled right now, Nikki?
Thursday at 9, both attorneys will be here.
Okay. How much time do we have them scheduled for?
Until 1.
Until when?
1.
So you want to have Mark at
8:30?
1?
We can have him at
8:30 is fine.
8:30. Also, let's please have copies of all the contracts that we did not sign with CenturyTel, so we can have those to look at.
Number 9, they would also like to come on Thursday and speak with you gentlemen.
How much time do they need?
About 30 minutes.
What do you do at 8 o'clock?
Is that in exec or out of exec? Will they be talking about contracts and contract extensions?
However you would like me to, I'll have to talk.
Why don't we move Mark to 8, put these guys at 8:30 since they're driving from Springfield, and then go ahead and list the possibility of the executive for, at least for personnel and contracts, for these guys. Number 10, we're going to talk about just as soon as we get through with all this stuff. I don't know what is 7. Well, I guess there's a couple things. I got an email. Let me start with 6. I got multiple emails from the library board. And then I got an email from Mr. Babcock also asking about when he's on the agenda again. So I think they're eagerly looking to be on the agenda. I think they've talked to you, Mr. Hausman, recently. One of them has. So,
Mr. Babcock called the office last week when you gentlemen were out. He thought there was going to be a meeting scheduled last week.
Okay.
And then I guess my only question I'd like to put on the also is, in light of the presentation given by Mr. Woolery, I have a feeling we need to have a 911 discussion now, at least put on the list for us to decide as a reminder that we need to have a meeting.
Those are both tax issues. Could we combine the meeting that we have on current proposed tax issues? Is that the way you would want to post that, Jim? And maybe we could discuss them.
We can put them back to back. I just think there's different groups going to be here for both discussions.
Well,
but yeah, we can tie them together. That's fine.
I mean, here's what I'm saying about that. As we were presented this morning, they're wanting us to set a rate for the 911. Mm-hmm. We will be setting a proposed rate for the library tax if that's put on at the same in a general vicinity. Other taxes, I would like to look at the total picture of everything that is involved tax-wise.
Here's the primary question that Mr. Woolery made his comment in public comment this morning. The stakeholders would like to know if this county commission is going to approve the basic concept of funding 911 with a 911 sales tax. That's the question he would like and the group would like to have answered by this county commission. We have limited number of options as how to fund 911. Currently, obviously, we're using the landline percentage. That's a declining revenue. It's only going to last for, according to his presentation to the stakeholders, about 3 more years. So the question is, will we approve the basic concept of funding 911 with a sales tax? There was special legislation that was passed this year which would allow Taney County to do that. And tied to that sales tax passage, there would be a mandated board, in other words, different organizations that those individuals would have to come from that serve on 911. Currently, that's up to the discretion of the county commission. So if the 911 tax were to go on the ballot, it would be an entity of itself. It would not be controlled by the county, the cities, the ambulance district, fire districts. It would be controlled by the board that would be created. And it would be managed and run by the board that was created. And all 911 dispatch centers would be consolidated into one. And if I'm also not mistaken, he said that they had agreed, and he read off who those entities were, to consolidate.
Right.
It's my personal belief that a couple of those have agreed to that based upon whether or not they have that sales tax.
My question to you, Mr. Houseman, would be that no one that I know presently knows the statutes any better than you are. Is this, after that board is formed, is it appointed by the existing county commissions in renewal, or is it a elected board as the ambulance district?
No, I believe that it's appointed.
Appointed.
But then they have a complete voice to make autonomous political decisions. Much like the sewer district board, with this difference, sewer district board doesn't have a tax. The 911 board would have a tax. I heard that.
Oh.
So I think that I agree with you all. We need to have the discussion. Are we going to approve that concept? Do we think that 911 needs to be supported by a sales tax? If this county commission doesn't approve of that concept, then I think we're back to square one. We're not going to see any more or much more consolidation.
And that falls back to the agendized question of, are we going to have a discussion about the number of taxes that people are wanting us to put on the ballot? And that's where I'm at with my agenda request, is that we have that discussion.
Sure.
So that we can have an answer for these people whenever they approach us on what we're going to do. So I would like to have a, you know, a 30-minute to an hour discussion with the county commission. I don't guess there's any public may show up in masses, but I don't know that that's what we're discussing. We're discussing these taxes, if we're going to put these taxes on the ballot or if we're not going to put them on the ballot.
Right.
So I wouldn't, because we've heard presentations from both, I'm not really as interested in listening to the opinions of those particular groups, because I know how they feel, and we've sat in on the 911 meetings and we've heard from the library board. But it is a condition for us to consider the amount and the number of taxes to be presented or permitted to be put on the ballot by this county commission.
Do you want a general discussion?
Well, the general discussion, my only concern is that we word it right, proper, that we don't have a room full of people thinking they're going to have public input when we're just trying to talk about the concept of timing and all that.
Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at, Jim, just exactly.
This is really getting beyond the agenda. I mean, didn't you meet with key stakeholders, Ron?
Yes. That was the report I offered to this commission last week, and I also offered what happened at that meeting.
Right. Why don't you just, for now, I don't want to schedule anything, just put the 911 on there for now, and I want to...
Would you like me to reiterate the basic premise that came out of that meeting? For the discussion of agenda?
I guess, why'd you summarize it very quickly?
There were four groups that were present. I represented the county with the possibility of a use tax. Sarah Kleinfelter represented the library district. Dave Woolery and Tammy represented 911.
Right.
And Ann McDowell represented the tourism board. The tourism board obviously is very interested in placing back upon the ballot the tourism tax because it has to be renewed. It was for a short period of time. They don't have to have it on the April ballot. Their desire is to do it sooner rather than later. But I think that Ann also commented, as did I think most of the members of the group that were present, that it probably would not be wise to put multiple tax issues on the ballot at the same time, because the likelihood of getting any one of those tax issues passed would be minimal.
Right.
And I think all of us that were there agreed to that. Library Representative Sarah did not back down from what had just been presented by the library board, nor would she have the authority, I think, to do that. The library board had voted to ask this county commission to place the library board issue on the April ballot. They're also recommending that we place a 20-cent per $100 valuation property tax in front of the voters for that April ballot.
Right.
911 was waiting on the last entity, which will occur, as Dave said today, tonight. The city of Branson also is expected to finally read and approve their resolution, which is contained with, or will be the same as the other resolutions that we have in front of us, asking this county commission to approve the basic concept of funding 911 with the 911 sales tax. There is no specific date that's called for, although I did hear Mr. Woolery say that in 2013 would be their target. I think that's how he stated that.
That's you said. I wrote that down.
The least expensive election in 2013 is the April election. Either way, this county commission is going to have to come up with and budget during the budgetary process any monies to put any issue on the ballot in 2013, whether it be April or whether it be the full cost in August or November of next year. So there really was no conclusion that was reached other than an understanding from everyone that you shouldn't attempt all the taxes at the same time.
Wasn't it also that you were going to reach out to schools?
I bumped into the city administrator for Branson, and he said that he thought it would be great to expand
right.
the discussions for taxation to include cities and schools, and that we all sit down together and have meetings wherein we talk about where each entity is headed, what priorities there might be within the county, and how, at least my comments were a couple of years ago, based upon the model that had been produced through Jasper County, that it would benefit all of us to work together to understand what each district needs and then prioritize those needs. And we are hoping to do that, to expand that thought process. So your thought was to have Nikki add to the agenda request items and put in front of us again both 911 and the library board?
The library's on there as number 6.
Yep.
So maybe add one in there, just put 911, and we need to think through how we're going to have these discussions. My concern, Danny, if we put something about tax discussions, the room's full, and it's very difficult to get through a conversation because people are going to think that, if we're trying to have a conversation, everything has to be posted, even though we just got to have a conversation about timing and thoughts. And so I think at this point, let's just, what I would like to do is just put 911 as an agenda item, but let's think about how we're going to have these conversations. Unless you're ready to have the conversation, and we just do it.
I'm in total agreement with you. I'm not in agreement with the fact that I think it's a race to the finish line, who gets on first mm-hmm. and who gets on second and third as far as the tax proposals are. And I have some concern that that's what we're running into here. As I listened to Mr. Woolery this morning, I took it from him, the sooner the better. I also know that the library board's approached us for the April one. So there's a discussion to be had about that particular issue, plus these other taxes, plus what might ever come up as far as the school districts. But we have to have the conversation, and that's the reason I was wanting to put it on the agenda. And I do have a real concern about us not being able to discuss it. I don't care how many people's out there, but without the input of each group thinking their issue is the more special of the
Thursday's fine. Let's just have the conversation. Let's start the conversation.
How would you like me to post that?
I have no idea.
Because it is our decision.
Sure.
The county commission's decision to do so.
What people need to understand, which is interesting, is that the library board made a presentation to us. They've requested 20 cents, and we haven't had a chance to discuss.
Is the press lady out there?
He is.
Go ahead.
We haven't had a chance. We haven't discussed 20 cents versus 17 versus 15, anything like that. So we gotta have a conversation.
That right.
People are just going to listen to a conversation. So that's fine. Let's put it on Thursday.
Okay.
Or
yes.
Near future.
You're going to be coming back with this on Thursday, right?
Yes.
With another agenda request review time for
yes.
future dates. That's where I wish you would place both those items. And if that's my druthers anyway.
That's fine.
So you just want me to add it to the list?
Yes.
What is number 11 on your list?
I don't know.
This gentleman came to see me. He had initially went down to speak with the assessor.
because he felt like he was being assessed high.
Okay, well,
wait just a second here. Let's get into this.
It's a road issue.
It's two road issues.
Has he talked to Randy?
Not that I know of.
Send him to Randy.
That if it's a road, I'm reading your summary here.
That's very general.
Nikki, what I would say to you on this issue, because you started getting off on something that this person hasn't approached anyone about in the BOE or through any situation like that. And the only way that we could have took some roads in is with the permission of those signed signatures that are the people that live on the road, that we have a process that they go through. If we've taken a couple of roads in that there's questions about, it needs to be, Randy needs to look at it and come back with an opinion to give to us about how they were, if they were taken in without the proper procedure. And I don't know that there's anything that you can even do about it at that point after there's been expenditure of funds.
You know, I remember several years ago, and I don't know if this is what this is even referring to, but where, in fact, a road was existing, and it ran through platted lots, and those individuals came, and those lots were vacated and became part of the road system. I'm wondering if this is that issue.
This is similar to that, or it may be that particular issue, the road is where it is, and it has been for a number of years. We took the road in 7 years back. It was petitioned through the record process, and we do maintain the road. We have been maintaining it for a number of years now. And that is the case. The road runs through a number of lots.
Platted lots. Okay.
Were those lots not vacated?
That I can't answer.
There's the one instance I'm remembering back to, they were, but that doesn't mean this is the same.
All right.
This is going to be one of them type issues.
You find that out?
Yeah. Okay. We.
Versus contact information.
But I. Okay.
We are scheduled for county commission at least a half a day on December the 3rd.
Okay.
That's next
Monday.
Yeah. You guys want to have this discussion back on this other agendized item regarding these taxes for 911 and for library board on that day? We'll schedule it as a discussion amongst the county commission, which we have to do if we're going to have the discussion. And based upon your comment and your comment, it sounds like you want to have those in-house. We can do that. Both may be here pushing us to make a decision in their favor. But
I guess my bigger thing was I was kind of waiting to see how our budget layout was. Because I'd much rather, if we're getting into the budget and getting success going, I'd much rather take a better use of our time to be the afternoon of the 3rd to get the budget knocked out by a certain time and then have these discussions about taxes. Because a week or two on the tax discussion doesn't hurt them very much, but a week or two in the budget, because we have a definite timeline we have to have the budget done by. So I was wanting to hope that we either have it real... Actually, I was hoping to have those conversations after the budget's done. Let's just focus on the budget, get it knocked out, or at least get an understanding. Because I was thinking that any waking moment on Monday or Thursdays, we were going to have budget and just do budget.
Well, if I'm looking back at last year, we had like 30 days that we worked on the budget. Right?
Right.
So we're running out of days.
Well, that's what I say. Before I commit to a tax discussion, I'm not sure that let's lay out the budget layout. And figure out what days we're going to and if that's enough time and all that.
It's up to you guys. I know that you're going to keep getting the calls because when we were made the presentation was, we need as much time as possible so that we can sell our issue. I'm sure that's true for both.
I'm sure it is.
Okay.
I'm sure it is. Bring it back up on Thursday.
Bring it up on Thursday.
I just want to get this budget work schedule laid out, is what I'd like to get done.
Me too.
Number seven.
How much more?
Tell me about that.
I am waiting for some information back from Alicia Woody. The lady who would like to come and address the commission is from the Child Support Office. There is an agreement which needs to go up to Frank, but there are a couple other issues that she would also like to cover with you gentlemen.
Do you have all the documentation?
No, I do not.
Then
I
bring it up on
for,
Thursday.
Okay.
Is this an issue that will have to be brought forth for budgetary discussions?
I assume so.
Or is this just an approval of an existing agreement that's the same year after year?
I'd have to look. I don't know.
Thursday?
Depends on what they submit.
Is that what you said? I'm sorry.
I said bring it up on
bring
Thursday.
It up
we don't even have
Thursday,
our supporting documentation.
I
don't know what they're asking.
Have her bring her Thursday?
Bring it back up on Thursday.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you can have them come give a presentation on Thursday.
Yeah, we don't even know what they're presenting.
I know.
I mean, we may get it and say, oh, it's got to go through legal.
Which is exactly what will have to happen.
So why have a meeting if I know it's going to go to legal first?
Tell Alicia we need to have the documentation. We're going to talk about it again on Thursday and put it back on this list, is what Jim's suggesting.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Parking garage.
We have one.
Yes, we do. I'd like to get it fixed. I'd like to get it fixed so that the public would start using it again. Now, either we fix just the damaged area that occurred because of the fire truck that was there, and or we consider the entire package of fixing it. Presentation was what?
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
He was supposed to give us some documentation, was he not? Was he supposed to present us a final?
I thought that he came and made the entire presentation and he brought all the documentation.
He did.
Then we were going to bid it then, were we not? What were we
going to? No, you guys were going to discuss it during your budget discussions because there is funding involved.
I would recommend put it on the agenda for Thursday. And let's, because I think we'll have to bid it.
The total thing was $192,000. Just looked at it this morning.
Right.
And because of that number, we had it, was going to have it through our budget discussion.
Yes.
When we talked about it, because it was such a high number.
I think either way you look at it, we still got to repair it. And I think we should have that discussion to repair, I mean, at multiple stages, because the ceiling part was very expensive, and that could be done in the spring. But I would, or warm days during the winter months. But what I think we need to do is have the discussion about what the next step is, because I would agree with Ron. We need to get this garage open. People aren't using the upper deck because they think it's closed, even though it's just one section closed. So how about Thursday for 15 minutes? I don't think it'd take more than that.
That's fine.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
And if you would, Nikki, let's put all the non-executive session stuff at the beginning, even if we have to make our attorneys wait for 15 or 30 minutes. That way...
Okay.
As far as those goes, if we build this up, we can delay them for 30 minutes and ask them to come 30
right.
minutes
later.
Just repost
versus
it.
Going in executive and out of executive. Let's just do it.
Okay.
Randy, I need to talk to you about a potential road relocation at Big Cedar. Has that gone anywhere? Has there been any discussion? I know that Jamie has brought that up.
Are you finished with me?
No.
No.
You know where what I'm talking about?
The vacation of some lots.
It's a road relocation. They have a road that runs there in front of their stables. What Big Cedar would like to do is to move it at their expense up because they want to build a new structure there. So it would really be a relocation petition process.
But it's a vacate.
Relocate.
Vacate, relocate process, and yes, that's the reason it needs to happen at the first of the year.
I'd like to chat with you about that because we need to get on it if it is going to be something that we're going to consider. Okay. Rick, if you're listening, could you come in? I noticed that we were, yes, no. Place for discussion on Thursday, Surf and Donna Neely.
For how long? About 10 minutes, 15 minutes?
In the audit, gentlemen, that came out from our local audit, it was shown that we had arbitrage earnings within sewer district funds. There are ramifications to us having a positive arbitrage, and we need to look at that. I would at least like to have that discussion. Okay. ASAP.
Thursday's fine.
Give her some time frame, because we're getting several things on
5 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Tipping services? Are we going to discuss that in exec? Contract? Okay.
Is that Thursday or is that today?
Thursday.
Thursday.
With our attorneys here Thursday, why don't you just make sure?
And it is one of the items.
It is?
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We received an email from Mr. Suti about Hollister disbursements. Do we want to talk about that on the agenda? The email stated that we had approved something. Without sewer district approval. To the best of my knowledge, that's not the case.
I don't believe it's ever happened.
Do we want to have the discussion, or do we want to follow that up with John and have something back from him in writing?
I have actually spoken with John about that. He asked me to send the city of Hollister a memo asking for any contracts or agreements or monies that would be paid out to be sent directly to the sewer department. They will attach a letter, send it to our office to receive payment.
There's never been a time that we've appropriated money for any location that they haven't come forward and said they had the proper documentation and stood before the podium and requested either one,
Thanks,
two,
Rick.
Or three. So,
Ron Erickson, if you're present, could you come down for just a moment if you're listening to this? Back to you, Rick, very quickly. Within the local audit that we received, it discussed arbitrage earnings based upon sewer district funds. Is that something that we need to address, and is there some action that needs to be taken because of that?
Not knowing the sewer situation, and knowing how we would have an arbitrage, and I doubt that they would because of what interest rates are right now.
Let me back up. The audit said that they did have arbitrage earnings. Yes. When you say you'll have to pay, are you talking directly to us or out of sewer district funds?
The sewer department, whoever has the bond, will have to pay it. What it is, Ron, is it's the federal government that made a law where it wouldn't allow you to borrow money to purchase bonds and then put money in the bank and make more interest on the money in the bank than you do on bonds.
Would you do me the favor of, we're going to schedule a short amount of time on Thursday, maybe to be here for that, and maybe we can invite John as well, Nikki? Because that needs to be taken care of, because those are funds that come from us to them.
Sounds good.
That probably, I would guess, if the outside auditor didn't figure that out, which I guess he probably didn't, it probably needs to be figured by the bondsman. Someone's familiar with doing that. We had a figure for us the last time we had on our cops. So
Would you take a look at those audit findings and make sure I'm telling you correctly? I'm positive that it said there were arbitrage earnings. Yes, sir.
So that would have to be on the Branson Bee Creek project, probably where we sold bonds, and it'd be something Mr. Dillingham would handle. Right. So he may.
I can't imagine that that would be the case today. Mr. Erickson, I know that we originally had gone out to bid for a company, firm, or individual to handle the disaster funds that would be forthcoming and the disbursement, et cetera, of those funds, so forth and so on. The individual, Mickey Davis, originally bid. We reopened that. We received two bids, one from Mr. Davis and one from Ms. Redford. What did we ever do with that, and should we put that on the agenda? Did we make a formal decision?
Yeah, just by memory, I think the decision was that with Mr. Ashley, that he was waiting until the FEMA funds had actually become completely available and then come back with a final recommendation. That's my understanding, but Mr. Ashley would be the person that could give you the exact details, of, because that's one of the bids that I have as an open file.
So we did not award. We're waiting upon. Right. As I understand it, FEMA funds have been approved. If SEMA is dragging their feet?
It's SEMA who has the issue with their schedule. Yeah, FEMA says right. That they're ready. It's a specific individual that our representative, Don Phillips, has already talked to. And Stacey Burks has talked to from Senator Blunt's office.
I'll be able to check with Mr. Ashley, so. Look back with him because it's a file that's sitting
We have an executive session that's scheduled today, and I'm wondering if you could be here at 1 o'clock to talk about tipping services.
Today?
Yes.
Certainly.
Were we going to have a Thursday discussion?
Yes.
Today and Thursday?
Okay. Because there's correspondence that's happening right now that we perhaps should or should not be having. It wouldn't take very long. Thank you, Ron. Gentlemen, I don't see anything else, at least on my list, that we need to bring up right now.
Did you get food counseling?
I'm sorry, what?
Not yet.
No. That's it, to the best of my knowledge. Thank you. Our next item on the agenda is correction of previous meeting minutes. I asked for this to be placed on the agenda. There were minutes that were taken December 13, 2011, and the minutes read, benefits and supplemental insurance funds were discussed. We were diligently looking for a motion that was made on that day. Nikki did find that for us. And what I would like is to insert Exhibit A, which is a breakdown of the discussion from that day. And within that, it states, Commissioner Strahan made a motion to approve the recommendation of the committee. That committee was the Insurance Committee. And award the bid to Employee Benefit Design, LLC, and to assign EBD as our broker for 2012. Did it say 2012, or was it just? Okay, so the motion was for 2012. That was seconded by Commissioner Straufus, and it was approved by a unanimous vote of all three county commissioners. It needs to be reflected in the minutes. We can't go back and change those previous minutes, but we can insert that into today's minutes.
It's strictly it was overlooked.
Yes.
The motion took place. The minutes just overlooked the fact of the motion.
She's also put the minutes so that we'll have some foundation for today. And very simply, it states who the members were on the committee that were present,
sure.
The different plans that were being offered. The recommendation that came forth from the committee, and then our motion to do that.
So you want the motion to put that as an addendum to the December? Okay. So I'll move that we insert Exhibit A into today's minutes, reflecting action taken by December 13, 2011, but not reflected in those actual minutes.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to insert Exhibit A into today's minutes, reflecting action taken December 13, 2011, but not reflected in those minutes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I had designated this at the top of the page as Exhibit A, and it concerns Independent Insurance and Benefit Services, bid number 201110-155.
Dean, we're going to do minutes and payroll real fast. I mean, minutes and accounts payable so they can release checks.
Yeah.
Approval of executive session minutes.
Can we go with the very, okay. How about go to the very top, Ron, and do the actual minutes and payable.
Previous meeting minutes.
Motion to approve with corrections and changes October 29th and November 1st meeting minutes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve County Commission minutes dated October 29th and November 1st with corrections and amendments. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable.
Motion to approve accounts payable checks 331446 through 331543 and a journal entry for paper usage and a transfer from County Clerk to the Road and Bridge Department for the election work they provide.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve accounts payable checks number 331446 through 331543, journal entry for paper usage and a transfer from County Clerk to Road and Bridge Trust for election work. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Sir, if you'll take it, we have three executive session minutes. Four that I can read into the record.
Yes, sir.
Motion to approve executive session minutes dated November 8th, Section A, November 8th, Section B, November 13th, and November 15th with corrections and changes.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve executive session minutes November 8th, Section A, Section B, November 13th, and November 15th with corrections and changes. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries. There's been a question about the upcoming holiday schedule regarding the day before Christmas.
I am going to request that has come to us from the circuit side. It's obviously asking us to consider doing such. The state, to the best of my knowledge, has declined.
What the state is saying is you can use comp time if you want. They're not going to declare it a state holiday. My proposal is, as unpopular as it's going to be, is to close the courthouse systems, all the departments, as a non-paid holiday. That's my proposal.
So what happens with the officials that come in to work? Thank you.
The elected officials, I believe, can come and go as they please.
I'm sorry, maybe I phrased that wrong. For an elected official or two who have declared that, they will be working, and others have declared they're taking it off. Your motion is?
Well, I haven't made a motion. I'm just saying for discussion purposes, is to close the whole system.
Okay.
And realize the savings that goes along with it. Because if we have any office open, then we're going to have to have some sort of maintenance here, which is buildings and grounds. And the state did not declare it a holiday. So it will not be paid. So, and I'm only proposing this on the 24th, which is a Monday. or we can do nothing.
Ron, let me see that. Okay.
Because if I'm not mistaken, the courts, we got an email, the courts are not going to be in session, correct, Ron?
No, we didn't get that.
Well, I thought we did get that.
To the best of my knowledge, I thought they were.
You know, I mean,
which is why she was asking.
No, I...
Something different. What's your understanding of what's going to happen down at the judicial facility, Ray?
You know, I hadn't checked it out, but I was sitting down the look.
Would you find out for us? We're just curious.
I have an email. I had an email similar to what you said, Jim, that there wasn't going to be any activity.
That's what I thought. I'm looking for the email right now.
I just deleted mine off of my phone, but I did receive that one yesterday.
I'm confident that I did say that, but... Rick is doing some discovery work for us. Can we move to the Public Defender Cooperative Lease Agreement? We have an opinion regarding Public Defender Cooperative Lease Agreement, file number 12-082PA from Frank Cotti. He's reviewed the proposed lease for office space to be rented by Christian Green and Taney Counties for the use by Public Defender. He approved the lease as to form. He did not offer any opinion as to the terms contained therein. The lease, to the best of my knowledge, has been signed by all of the counties that are within the district with the exception of Taney County. So the request is for Taney County to, in fact, join the other counties in the signing of this agreement.
I visited a little bit with Christian County's presiding commissioner at the MAC conference. Also had discussions with other people that had the same kind type of contract except in a different district. I'm a little bit confused on which one this was, Ron. Is it the amount of money that was to be expended? Was this the one that seemed rather high? I haven't looked at that.
It's to house the public defender's office for those counties that fall within that area that's so designated, which includes Green County and Christian County and Taney County. My personal opinion is it's an atrocious amount of money that we're paying for rental space. The other counties have agreed to it. We're paying $129,000 a year to provide an office for them to work out of. Now, we're providing an office for attorneys to work out of that are in direct conflict with the prosecutor's office that we're funding to prosecute the very people that they're defending. It just sort of rubs me the wrong way.
Well,
as you can tell, I'm not on the best of feeling today.
Yes, I wasn't expecting quite that that sort of answer, but that pretty well puts it to the point.
You know where I'm at on that issue.
I know where you're at on that issue, but that was the same feeling that I got, the reason I brought up the other...
From every other commissioner?
The other commissioners that I visited with on this issue, and they were... their opinion was somewhat, except not quite presented that way, but their opinion was the same as yours, Mr. Houseman.
Well, our share proportionally is
$16,000
on an annual basis. So obviously, it's Greene County that's getting hit with the huge chunk of
almost $90,000.
$120,000.
Yeah.
You would think we might find a place that would accommodate these attorneys at a less amount of money.
One of the conferences that I went to at MAC, actually, there was an instance where the one of the other
services... Would you come up and join us, Rick, at the microphone?
One of the conferences I was at MAC, there was an instance where one of the other circuits, the offices had went into a bigger space and just sent the bill to the counties. And after some, I think there was some litigation involved in it. I don't know who was in that one or not, Danny, but they actually decided that they would pay what was reasonable, and then the office itself would have to pick up the extra. Now, since you've been paying this for a while, you may have trouble doing something like that, but it appears that there is some indication that maybe they do have some legal responsibility to be frugal with their office space.
I guess the question is, it's left up to us to sign this contract if we wish to. The amount of money on return for rental space in such a high payment is totally out of line for what you would the private sector would rent something for.
Danny, I don't know that. I would say that if you were going to not sign it, you'd want to talk to Greene County and find out where they stand, because if they're paying the brunt of the expense, which appears they are, they would be the ones that
actually what we'd be entering into is a lease with the owner of the building. My objection is not just the amount of money, it's the fact that beginning in October they're jacking us up $2,000 a month. That's an additional $24,000 a year. And just expect the counties to step up to the plate and pay it. Now, we have a responsibility statutorily to fund office space for public defenders. And we're splitting that from the district that we're in, which again is Greene, Christian, and Taney. Both, as I understand it, Christian and Greene have entered into this agreement. So the question is whether or not we're going to. And I believe when it comes down to the final day, we're going to be pushed into that position.
I would say you will, unless you have the other counties on the same page as you are.
Can I say at least?
My warrant visiting with them, seeing how they feel about it. I don't have any idea the office space up there may be a bargain right now, but I would think Greene County would know for sure.
Well, one would think at the rate of $10,000 a month, one might purchase a building.
Might be more financially intelligent to do that, I would think. I don't know. Jim, does it say how many square feet they have?
That's what I was looking for. It does not.
I think on the first page it may. Or no, what it alludes to is the additional square footage that's needed.
Yes, here it is. 8,700 square feet.
Calculating that, mister?
I'm not.
You look like you're straining.
I was running the other numbers and thinking, okay, well, what's the building like that going to cost?
I will put this on my list of discussions with presiding commissioners when we meet.
When does it need to be signed?
As soon as this county will sign it.
This lease was entered into on April 5th of 2012.
And what they're trying to do is to give us an increase in the middle of the lease. What the state has done is stepped up to pick up the last part of October, November, and December until counties can budget, since it was not in the county's budgets. So in essence, we signed the lease in April of last year. They're giving us an increase. The state's picking up part of it, and the full share of that then will fall on our shoulders beginning in January. So January, February, and March, I mean, who's to say they won't do it again next year when the building wants to increase?
It's $1,484 a foot per year, which is Class A office space rate. Ron, how many public defenders do we actually have?
I don't know the answer to that, Jim. Could I suggest we reschedule this for Thursday and bring it up in front of council?
Sure.
I think that's a good idea. I did. Ron, do you meet with the presiding?
We try to meet on a monthly basis. We don't have anything scheduled, though, for December. Nikki, if you're listening, please schedule a public defender discussion regarding the cooperative lease agreement for Thursday's discussion with council.
I already threw my 2 cents out.
I'm sorry?
Don, am I right? You understand the judges are kind of waiting on this to make a decision and they're going to follow it?
I just said that this morning. They had that decision.
Who had it? The state can make one for them, I know.
Uh-huh. They have decided not to. The state has said no. The judge will remain.
Well, I know this. If we designate it as a what was your?
It said close the courthouse.
As a
non-paid holiday.
As a non-paid holiday, what does that mean?
That means the employees would just be off, and if they didn't have constant or personal vacation, that would be zero.
Let me help you with that. The 24th is not a holiday, so.
Well, I'm not in favor of declaring it a holiday and doing a paid day. I'm not in favor of that whatsoever. So that's one thing I am sure. I don't want to pay for us to be closed. We already have the 25th as a holiday, so I'm not in favor of the 24th being closed as a holiday. So. We can stay open and people can take off. But I'm not in favor of declaring it a holiday.
Because of future action that I may be taking and asking this commission for, I'm in agreement with you, Jim. I'm pro-employee. I hate to see somebody traveling on the Christmas Eve afternoon trying to get to a location for family, but that would be left up to them, I guess, to take that time off themselves, either with comp time or one of their personal days, because of a big decision that I'm going to be making towards employee benefit.
So we'll just leave it alone. People can take off if they want. We're going to stay open. Is that what I'm hearing?
I don't know how you can explain it any different than that, than what I said there.
Yes, there you go.
Staff departmental update, Road and Bridge.
We burned hours. The new guy will need one too. The new guy will need one too. So we'll have to have multiple print copies.
Sir?
Gentlemen, the first item I have on there is Slough Hollow and guardrail along that particular road. We did meet with Arkansas Fish and Game people, and I believe John Heiser was there with the Corps of Engineers. Danny and myself were down there. I did measure the road. What I see needs to be guardrail installed on is approximately 3,050 feet, which comes at an estimated cost around $58,000 at our bid item cost that we currently have with one of our guardrail vendors. And
that's something that's already been bid for the year, though?
That's something that's already been bid, and we're currently using. We're going to use this. I recommend using this company. We do have a cost per foot a little bit cheaper, but with that company, time-wise and the amount of work and guardrail installed there, I think the time essence would come into play, and I would suggest using this second vendor here that we currently have. We awarded it to both vendors.
I agree with the situation after we met and talked and visited with them on location. I do not... they kind of put a little bit of pressure on Randy and I because we didn't have the documentation that we needed as far as what was discussed. And I think it got a little, I talked to Randy a little later. I think the conversation got a little confused with them, the two parties being the Corps and Arkansas Fish and Game, as who was responsible for a ramp at KDOC when we didn't have anything to do with it. We just proceeded to asphalt a area that was a danger to the public. As you remember, we had a little washout area down in the dip at the KDOC facility down the lower side. When we made that repair, as we come up the hill, we went ahead and asphalted because we were down there doing some work. But they seem to think that that ramp was part of the project. We didn't have anything to do with the ramp, but we didn't have the documentation there or the argument to say so. So they seemed to think that they was going to put that money, the $28,000, which their number was 27 something, wasn't Randy, for the ramp?
Yeah, that's what they estimated the cost of the ramp, and which we're kind of in agreement at splitting this cost of the guardrail, and they want to use their funds that they were going to put toward that, toward the guardrail instead.
Okay.
Our discussions when we initially started with KDOC, I don't remember any discussion with a boat launch. I mean, no. Arkansas Fish and Game, that was always their idea. That had to be something between them and the Corps. All of our plans, all of the fill that we put toward KDOC was for the fill and then re-asphalting the road. And Arkansas left off that section that we planned to fill because of that reason, and I don't know where that ended up, but we ended up paving everything.
So the way that I see it is the confusion between the $28,000, which would be half before Arkansas Fish and Game, Mr. Gunther, is that his name?
Yep.
Before he arrived, the other gentleman and I, he said that as he reviewed everything, he came to the conclusion if we could come to a 50-50 split on the guardrail, that he was all for it.
Okay.
Well, after Mr. Gunther arrived and brought up this other boat launch, and then John Heiser arrived later with the discussion going on, I'm not sure that they really, I'm interested in making the 50-50 split with them, but I don't think that I think we would end up paying an additional cost of $28,000 for a piece of asphalt that we already installed. Is that the way you understood it, Randy?
Right.
And so I didn't take the conversation into a meeting because I was sent down there with the terms from you gentlemen that we would consider a 50-50 split, and I wasn't going to enter into any further discussion with them without any documentation in front of me.
Which is, that's what I support.
Yeah.
50-50.
And I think that's the right people. I know you got the cards from the gentleman that was there that I met first, Mr. Randy, I can't remember his name.
I'm trying to think if I'd be given to me on the.
But anyway, I believe that that's the direction that we should head. I think we should go ahead because of the situation down there. I think we should go ahead and.
Should we do that in writing, Danny? Put it in writing that we'll do a 50-50 split?
I think in a contract form, we send them a contract form for 50-50 split.
Or
in writing.
Well, how about they just do the contract because they're going to do their contract anyway? Why don't we, Randy? Why don't you just communicate with them? We got at least two commissioners, I think three, agreeing that we'll do a 50-50 split on the guardrail.
All right.
Yeah.
And basically, that's all it's going to state is.
Right.
Yeah.
50-50 split based off of what, $58,000?
Right.
Yeah. That's out of what, $119,000?
Yeah. Right. You're right. And I think...
Well, that's based off that, and that's off of our bid, current bid costs of what our vendors give us per running foot, them furnishing the guardrail and the installation.
Now, let me ask you this, Jim and Ron. I'm for, because of the situation there, with such an open-sided percent grade, of going ahead and proceeding with the project with our contractors and billing Arkansas Fish and Game for the other half.
I'd rather get some sort of communication in writing from them before we started that, just because I would like to see some, I mean, I'm ready to move forward, but I'd like to, how fast can we turn out some communication with them?
They said that was my problem. They said it was going to take a while.
That may take them a while.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like, I don't know how many desks it may have to go through. That's going to be one of the issues. It may take a while getting an agreement signed or a contract from them. And meantime, right now, I mean, people are using the road.
Well, does the possibility exist that we move forward, we pay for it, and then they don't sign an agreement?
There is a possibility of that, but let me say this, gentlemen. I have to think that there was probably 30 to 40 cars and vehicles went by as we sat there in a short period of time of probably an hour. They used that road. It is in a condition that needs guardrail. And we can wait till Thursday.
Your question is, we need to move forward.
Yes.
Your thought is.
My thought is definitely we need to move forward. Randy, what's your opinion?
I mean, I haven't contacted our vendor. I mean, I would like to contact them and give them a heads up and have them look at it, and then they can give me an estimated time when they could be there for installation, and it may be a couple of weeks or longer anyway.
I'm fine. Let's over communicate with the Game and Fish about them, and then let's go ahead and start lining everything up.
All right.
I mean, we've got to take care of citizen safety first.
And here's the thing, Randy. I want you in your letter state that we have no recollection or no minutes of us talking about a
up ramp.
Talking about a launch, boat launch,
yeah.
that we actually asphalted for safety reasons. It goes in that general area there where we
right.
filled
I mean,
in.
All intentions, we were going to asphalt that anyway. I mean that.
Yeah.
No.
All right.
We want them to produce the contract. I'll contact them. And
you just push them hard to get something?
Okay. But I can also contact our vendor and go ahead and get started with the, okay.
Yep.
And put ASAP on the in the minutes.
Okay.
West Belcher.
Gotcha.
The... The next item on there, Shady Drive, I did talk with Basil this morning, and he's going to be here next week.
I got two messages. He's called since I've been in the session, so he's called since 8:30.
Well, anyway, I am going to get a description to get with Frank Cotty on that. I did meet with them and talk about that, so I'm moving forward, but it's going to take a little
Sure, it's a description.
That's not something that's going to move fast. Meantime, there's really nothing.
Did the resident not like what our solution was?
Not particularly, I don't think. But he wants more. I mean, that. So.
Let me back up. Did we agree that we're going to absorb the cost of the petition process for vacation?
We
and if we are. I'd sure like to have that individual on board.
I just owe him a phone call. He's called twice since 8:30. I've had two messages. I guess what we'll do is...
Well, his opinion, he didn't think it would solve the total problem. And the other problem isn't related to basically that, of what he wants.
Okay, let's just stop right there. You've already said more than I want to hear on this. And if he wants to come in and visit with me, Jim, I'll give him the straight word that if we're not going out and fix part of the problem and him be dissatisfied with what's left on something that is questionable for me, that we absorb the cost. So I am not going to be in favor of
moving forward.
And if you need for me to return that phone call, I'll give him that message.
No, I'll call him as soon as we get our first break and just tell him that there's nothing we can do. It's not a maintained road.
Okay.
You know, so.
I didn't write this. I think I wrote some notes on there. You asked about the generator at the airport. Tom Trotter, I sent him over to check it out and meet with Mark Parent. This particular generator is going to need an injector, injector pump and injectors, and then once we get it running, possibly need to have the electrical side of it checked out. It does have 21,000 hours on the machine, so we're looking at estimated cost just for the injectors and pump around $1,500. And then we're still not sure about the electrical side of it. You got to have it running to check it out.
What does that generator cost new?
I don't have an estimated cost, but...
How big is it?
Tom told me, but I don't remember. It's
obviously
fairly decent, but now he said one thing. Either the roof's going to have to be removable on the building, and hopefully it is, or they're going to have to remove a wall just to move the thing.
Right.
So whatever building it's in, it was...
And what part of this is part of the strategy of our disaster recovery site that Mark is going to talk to us about on Thursday. Uh-huh. So let's just do nothing until we hear from Mark, our IT guy, because if we're going to put a disaster recovery site somewhere out there, we need generator power, and that's why they're looking at this.
Okay.
So I think at this point, just wait until we figure out what we're going to do, because there's some concerns I have about that as a DR site. So.
Okay.
I'm not sure that the generator will work after they put the injector on. That's my main concern, because all the electrical part of it needs to be checked out also.
He fired it up, didn't he?
Huh?
He fired it up, didn't he?
Well, it fired up, but I don't know. I think that's when I figured out the injector pumps. I mean, things, it's got a lot of hours on it. It's going to need some money put into it. He did tell me what size of generator, but I don't remember.
I mean, I don't remember myself. I was told also.
In closed, the way I understood it, I visited a little bit with a couple of different people on this. It's in an enclosed area.
Yeah.
Every other generator we're putting in, Jim,
outside
is outside. And right. This thing's been here for years and years and years, and I'm not sure that we'd be allowed.
Can you find out and get with us, send us an email what size it is?
Yeah.
The generator, just so I...
Yeah, I'd find out from him and send you an email back. And then
do that.
The size and then... Okay. Right now, that's all I have, unless you gentlemen have something, or these two gentlemen, as far as an update. The rest of everything is all budget.
Okay. Transfer station hours, are we need to adjust them for the holiday at all? We're going to be closed Tuesday. Do you think Monday will be very busy at all, or do you think we should?
Monday will be busy. I mean, all Monday will be busy.
Okay, so we'll just close Tuesday for the holiday, and that's it. Christmas holiday. Okay.
I don't know if you gentlemen realize we never did get our generator at our shop. David got his over there, and we had postponed it for a while. We still do not have the generator. We can tap in with welders in emergency and pump fuel, but we would have to do that. Sometime, perhaps, it'd be nice if we had it.
Got one over the airport.
That'd be great. We'll take it.
You can have David's.
Okay. It is.
There, I think that your generator discussion at there, that this is just in past conversation, did it have something to do with the three-phase line that was being run out to the
location? Three-phase, and REA had offered to run it to our building. Just the conversion factor. And about that point is when
the generator part died down. We didn't talk
about it. We never did converter. We never did run three-phase in. They offered to. Usually it's a fee to run in, but they did waive that fee at that time. Said they would run completely in.
Mm-hmm.
And they had both of them scheduled and went ahead and done days. And then.
And that's the reason, just so that I can inform you two gentlemen, that's when we, the discussion about the generator at the Hilda shop ceased, because we were waiting on actual for three phase to be run in, and we thought after that period of time we'd see what all was calculated and needed at that point. So I do know that you need one. I'm not sure that the expense of what we've got here on this one at the school is
At the airport?
Yeah, at the airport, I should have said, is one that we would be interested in doing.
At one time, I think Frank was checking, REA had offered a kind of a assisted purchase program and great discount on board.
Mm-hmm.
And like in peak times, perhaps in the summer, it would kick on, but they would purchase power back from it. I don't know if some kind of assist that REA sometimes does. I know we talked to them about that at one time, and they were willing to visit about it.
Let's bring that back up with them, with White River, and see what we can come up with. I do know that we, this all come up, maybe the first year that Jim was here, or maybe before, when we had a disaster, and we talked about if something happened and the power lines were all tore down, that we would have to operate. I know when it was. It's when Springfield had the ice storm.
Yes.
And we talked about the need for a generator at the Hilda barn at that point. And then we got one at the Buchanan barn. And so it's something that we need to go ahead and discuss and move forward on. But why don't we do some checking with White River Electric, see where they're at and their proposal, and I'm sure.
Well, what size too? I mean,
how
big are you looking at? I don't know how big yours is.
Well, the main thing is have one big enough to run the shop and the fuel,
the pumps,
and conduct business similar size to what he has. I mean, his is going to be able to operate not only that building but transfer station because of.
Why don't you also look? I mean, what you're doing that check? I mean, there's some shops that are getting rid of equipment, generators, because they're downsizing. A low-hour generator may be worth looking at also.
From the state?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, also, three-phase, if we have three-phase power in there, that enables us a lot of times. SMS, schools like that, get donations, and the big city equipment's all three-phase.
Right.
Real
we have three-phase at the barn, at the shop?
You can buy it for the song if you've got three-phase.
We don't have three-phase at your building?
No.
They were going to run it, never did.
Okay.
They were going to do both barns at the same time. They got Davis completed, and it was towards the end of the year, and wanted to back off the budget.
Well, if you want to look into what it would take, new versus used in a low-hour generator, of course, I don't know what the size you need, so that'll all have to be.
I think we even had that figured at one time. So.
Military surplus, the only thing about military, they have usually a great quantity of anything they have about it. One thing you got to be careful with about them on the bid, a lot of times it's mixed match pieces in the original contract with the government, and when you go to repair later, it's a lot of times impossible. You can't match up the same components. But they have real cheap ones.
Randy, on this garage out here,
mm-hmm.
In talking with Mr. Black, and when he gave his presentation of what the whole thing would be, just doing the quick fix,
I'm trying to remember if I remember this properly or not, but it wasn't going to take a great deal of time, even if we did the whole thing, was it? A couple of days to strip out the...
A couple of days is what he said, three
right,
or four
days. Other than the initial repair, probably less than a week or a week's time. I mean, stripping out and resealing everything, but that's total package. I mean, the walls, the every single...
Well, if we did everything, maybe a week.
Yeah. Now
well,
the repair...
Well, we did get it there, but right. He thought that... I didn't think he thought that would take very long, actually.
I don't think you put a timeline exactly on the repair that I remember. You just, I mean, it would. It's something they can do. I mean, cut it out and replace and concrete it in. But I don't think you give a timeline. I'm sure it'd take 2-3 days. It's going to have cure time. And
he gives a price.
I know he gives a
morning,
price.
I can't remember.
Yes, well, that's got it somewhere up there.
Wasn't very much.
But there was initial fix, and then there was the total package, and then there was another price for sealing a preventive type coating to put on that type of structure, too.
Well, and then we were talking to him about it, and he gave us a price per foot, just, I mean, off the cuff, about if we wanted to go up and just put a roof.
Right.
But that doesn't fix the floor.
That doesn't fix the floor.
It's going to continue to drop. We need to
now, the one thing... I mean, I don't know if you're thinking this line. You could do the initial repair and then replace the damaged sealant, but as far as any other, if it depends on what we want to do as far as the maintenance, then you could look at probably roofing that. Then you don't have the problem with the snow and ice and rain and continued deterioration.
Well, my thinking is this something that is feasible to get done out of this year's budget and do it in December? And
That's a good idea, but my main concern about that whole thing was the repetitive maintenance.
Every 10 years,
and that the cost that we were talking about on the total package was $192,000, I believe, is what that said. And so that's where I'm looking at it, Ron. I'm just think that's a little more than what I would want to spend if we could go ahead and rip it for. Getting back to,
I understand, but even if we roof it,
it has
don't
to be
you think
done.
We got to go ahead and do.
We
got
to repair this. We got to repair this
one
right?
time, but not
one
time. Have the same expense in 10 years as what I'm saying.
Right.
I got you. Well, I would love to expedite that process if we think we could get it done now, while we have funds within that particular portion of the budget for capital improvements. Because there's a bidding process we got to go through, and suddenly we're in the last half of December.
Right.
Okay. Can I have you three guys, with the commission's approval, join us upstairs in the conference room? My suggestion is that we talk to Rick about some things up front, that we talk about the upcoming budget first, R&D.
Okay.
We're slated for budget discussions next.
That's fine.
Okay. While you're here, is that all right, guys? Or do you've got other plans for... No?
That's all right.
Perfect. We are scheduled to meet budgetary session, and we're scheduled upstairs in that little conference room. That's where we'll start keeping our papers and computers. And
everything will be set up so that we come out of our other meetings and we can fall right into the budget from...
Right. Sessions are open, but they're just going to
be conducted. Yes, sessions are open.